This is the record from KUOW. I'm Jeannie Yandel. The Seattle area has seen a few economic hits lately. Microsoft announced they were laying off over 1,000 workers in the Puget Sound region. Biotech company Amgen is closing its Seattle base. And now Bellevue-based T-Mobile might be in danger as well. John Talton is the economic columnist for the Seattle Times. He also blogs at roguecolumnist.com. He's here to bring us the good, the bad, and the ugly business and economic news. There are four major cell phone carriers in the United States. We have AT&T, Verizon, Sprint, T-Mobile. T-Mobile is our hometown team, but they have the lowest earnings right now. Earlier this summer, we heard that Sprint might want to buy T-Mobile. Now there is another potential purchaser, the French company Iliad. So first of all, what would this mean for T-Mobile if it were purchased?
If it were purchased by Sprint, then we would probably lose the headquarters. And I know people here don't want to hear that, but one of the reasons that these deals work for Wall Street is that they get to eliminate a headquarters. Sprint has been headquartered in suburban Kansas City for a long, long time. They're probably not going to keep the headquarters here. They might keep some offices here. They might keep some research here. Iliad is a different proposition and a more iffy deal, but if that came through, would they keep the headquarters here as Deutsche Telekom has done, or would they seek savings by eliminating as many jobs as possible? Remember, the Iliad deal is not for the entire company. It's for about 56%, and this would give Iliad a foothold in the United States. But they would want to be cutting costs heavily to make the deal work. It would also be probably very debt heavy. And when you have a debt heavy company, then that's a company that's going to face trouble.
So what does that mean for the overall economy of the region if T-Mobile is purchased?
There are about 4,000 T-Mobile jobs on the east side. Now that includes people in retail stores, but a lot of those are at the headquarters in Bellevue. And it's not a good thing when you lose a corporate headquarters. Corporate headquarters bring well-paid jobs, they bring capital, they bring talent, and then people leave those headquarters and start new companies.
Well, and you actually wrote that if T-Mobile were purchased and those headquarters shut down, it would be tougher on the region than the Microsoft layoffs, than Amgen leaving. How so?
Well, Jeannie, I think it comes back to this issue of the importance of real headquarters. And I don't mean a suitcase headquarters where the CEO lives in Scottsdale part of the year to play golf and he flies in and he keeps 12 people in an office way, way out in the suburbs. Here in Seattle and in any competitive city, you have real headquarters with thousands of employees. These headquarters attract capital, they attract talent. And because of that, they play this outsized role. Then there's an ecosystem around the headquarters of all these vendors that do business with them. So when we lost Washington Mutual, for instance, we didn't just lose 4,000 or 5,000 Washington Mutual jobs. We lost hundreds or thousands of other jobs with the vendors that were involved.
So we've been talking about what might happen if T-Mobile is purchased, but how likely is it that either of these purchases, either from Sprint or from Iliad, would go through?
Well, if I were king of the world, T-Mobile would remain as an independent company, and it would focus its energies on, say, oh, I don't know, this radical thing called serving its customers, rather than trying to put itself in play so that it's purchased by somebody and Wall Street and some institutional investors redistribute income upwards even further. But T-Mobile seems to have put itself in play. They've been working on the Sprint deal for quite some time, and Sprint would buy the entire company. And with the company in play, the Wall Street vultures are circling.
I'm talking with John Talton. He's the economic columnist for the Seattle Times. He also blogs at roguecolumnist.com. And since we're talking about vulture circling, we're talking about other economic headwinds, you have a poll up at the Seattle Times asking readers what their biggest economic worry is for the region. You ask people about the Amgen closure. You ask people about Microsoft layoffs. You also ask about climate change and the fact that infrastructure and education aren't as funded as they need to be. So what is the biggest economic worry that you're hearing about from Seattle Times readers?
The background of this is that we're in the middle of this absolutely spectacular boom, but that's the time that you need to worry. You know, Andy Grove said only the paranoid survive. And so I put up this poll on Friday on my Seattle Times blog, and I asked, what are your biggest concerns? And by far, the last time I looked, the biggest concern was poor infrastructure funding. Beneath that were Boeing in South Carolina and then education. Things like Amgen and Microsoft were way down the list, and infrastructure was nearly 50% of the respondents.
What do you think about that? Are Seattle Times readers right to be concerned about that?
Sure. I mean, we are not funding transit at a level or providing enough transit for a dense, major world-class city that wants to attract talent. Our ferries are breaking down. Our logistics system, as far as the roadways to move trucks from the ports to the trains, are not at all keeping up with the need. In fact, there's probably billions of dollars in logistics infrastructure that needs to happen. For the Port of Tacoma, they've been looking for a connector between the port and I-10, or rather I-5, and that still has not come out of the legislature. It's a big issue, and it will eventually hold this region back.
I have to ask, since you're running this poll, what is your biggest worry for the economic future of the region?
I worry about everything, or as Madeline Allwright said, I'm an optimist who worries. I think infrastructure is a big issue here, because those are the investments we make that will go forward and repay much more than we ever put into them. You know, we've become a society full of green eye shades where all we worry about is how much something initially costs, where we're living off the legacy of these investments that were made starting back in the 1930s on through the early 80s, and we don't understand how much they pay us back. Now, we need to be mindful of the assets we have, because every place in the world wants to take them. You know, the competition is not between Seattle and Bellevue. The competition is between metropolitan Seattle and Amsterdam and Singapore and Shanghai. We have to continue to be a global magnet for talent and a global magnet for capital. And so that means you've got to have a well-funded University of Washington, Washington State University. You've got to keep the research dollars coming in. We've got to hope that Microsoft continues its turnaround and that the pain here is not too much, and that, again, the Wall Street vultures don't start circling Microsoft and want to break it up or whatever. Boeing, you know, we're in this kind of dysfunctional relationship, but we're a couple that goes way back, and we've fought for a long, long time. We did get the 777X. That doesn't mean that we're not going to be under pressure from Boeing again, but it gives us a manufacturing sector that very, very few places in America still have.
Well, given that you just painted this picture of the dangers we face economically, what positive things do you see? What do you see the region doing to keep our economy stable?
We're blessed with very good bones. We're blessed with the ability to keep reinventing ourselves. That's why we're not sending logs down Yesler Way to the water anymore, and that we're now this world-class software cluster. So that's one thing to begin with. I've covered business and economics in 7 major metro areas. I have never seen a boom like this before. We have Amazon, and this is a world technology leader now. It's not just a little bookstore online. And so to the extent that Amazon stays healthy and keeps its shareholders within Jeff Bezos' spell of being willing to be misunderstood, then all of these are good things. We're an export leader. We are facing Asia in the Asian century. And so all these things are good. Exports are up through May of 2014, which is very good when you consider the slowdown in China.
I'm talking with John Talton. He's the economics columnist for the Seattle Times, and he blogs at roguecolumnist.com. He joins us regularly on The Record to talk about economic news for the region. And I want to ask about a national economic issue now, the stock market. It's down again. I have to ask, as someone who doesn't know much about the stock market, why is that significant?
Oh, well, you're the kind of person they want, because it's called the greater fool theory, and that is that you bid up stocks for no good reason, assuming that there will be a greater fool who will buy the stock from you. The Obama bull market has been a spectacular thing to behold. It's been bolstered by a lot of Federal Reserve money. It's been bolstered by the fact that even though average Americans aren't doing too well, corporate America is doing very, very well. Now corporate America is starting to hit some headwinds. For instance, as average Americans see their net worth go down and down and down, they're not able to spend as much anymore. This is why you have dollar stores consolidating. This is why you have Walmart having trouble with its earnings. So earnings were a little bit disappointing. The air is very thin up there, above 16,000, and a lot of people are worried that stocks are overvalued. There is trouble around the world that makes investors nervous, whether it's slowing economies in Asia, whether it's tension between China and Japan, whether it's Ebola in Africa, the ongoing peacefulness of the Middle East, a little bank in Portugal that blew up. All of these things, when stocks are valued so, so high, causes investors to pull back.
Well, for potential greater fools like me, what would you suggest we do? You've painted a picture of things happening around us that we don't have a lot of control over.
It's unethical for me to give personal finance advice. And would you trust personal finance advice from a journalist? I don't think so. Now, having said that, a diversified portfolio properly invested is always a good thing. You should always check the price and earnings ratio of a stock to see how expensive it is, and don't be the greater fool who gets in when it's at the very, very top of its valuation. And the reality is that most average people are either not invested in the stock market at all, or they are just along for the ride with their mutual funds, and they hope that they have decent mutual fund managers. But there's no magic ticket now for the American middle class. They are not benefiting from this stock market boom.
John Talton is the economics columnist for the Seattle Times, and he also blogs at roguecolumnist.com. He joins us regularly on The Record. This is The Record from KUOW. I'm Jeannie Yandel.